We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Yeah.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
You got one head coach who's been a head coach for years. You got one head coach who's trying to bring his team to prominence. You got one quarterback who's coming off a season-ending injury, being a backup for 4 years behind the greatest of all time, then starting to become the franchise quarterback. You had one quarterback who was, well, he was a backup for not exactly the greatest of all time, but he was a backup for a good quarterback in Alex Smith for a year, then in his second year became MVP. You got a couple of wide receiver classes, wide receiver cores, where they're speedy and they know what to do. You got two tight ends on each side who are the best in the game as it stands right now. You got a defense on one side who is as ferocious as any defense in football, and you got an offense on the other side who's as dynamic and versatile as any offense in football. And I am talking about Super Bowl 54 in Miami with the Niners and the Kansas City Chiefs. Good morning, everybody. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, as the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. With locations across the Bay Area, we offer next-day delivery. Now that's a winning game plan. GoldenStateLumber.com. Now I ask all of you to bear with me a little bit today. I am going through a sore throat right now, so I may sound a little bit different. I'm going to try not to hype myself up so my voice doesn't crack like it did right at the beginning of that little intro there. But I do want to talk about today, and I want to get your thoughts. Chill Not a Body text line, 95795, 888-957-9570. If you didn't happen to be in your car yesterday, because it was MLK Day, and it was a holiday, but if you weren't in your car yesterday, I would love to get your thoughts overall. Just your gut reaction, Niners and Chiefs, what do you think of the opponent? What's your confidence level at? Or all that sort of stuff. But also today, I kind of wanted to just go through the different players of this 49er team, and I want to know from you, because I feel like there are a solid four of these players and two kind of underdogs, but I feel like there can be four guys who you can say, who you can make an argument for to be the MVP of this 49ers team as you're heading into the Super Bowl, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Just your MVP for this year, for this 49er team. Who do you feel like has been the most valuable guy? I got four guys atop my list, but I also got two guys who I feel like can be underdogs for different reasons, but I do want to get into that today. But last night, or yesterday rather, we got an update from Kyle Shanahan. See, my voice already cracked because of the sore throat. That's all right. That's going to happen. That's going to happen today, so bear with me. But Kyle Shanahan yesterday, he was on the podium, and he basically said that Tevin Coleman had a dislocated shoulder, had it pop back in, and there is a chance that he could play in the Super Bowl. And that's where we're at with Tevin Coleman, right? Because Tevin Coleman, he's been, you know, for the last few games of the regular season, he was kind of veering off, you know? He was turning into a guy which people were starting to question. You know, he wasn't getting that many average yards per carry, which is what you want from these guys, even though they're not going to get that many carries per game. And you felt like Raheem Mostert was the guy. And then in that first game against the Vikings, boom, goes for two touchdowns and 105 yards, and you think Tevin Coleman's back again. And in this last game, obviously, Raheem Mostert with a historically good day in 49ers franchise history, in conference championship history, in NFL history, Raheem Mostert with one of the best games that a running back could possibly have with 29 carries, 220 yards, and four touchdowns, three of which came in the first half. But Tevin Coleman was hurt in the second quarter, and it looked like, from just the naked eye, from right off the bat, it looked like it was actually an elbow injury, and that's what the broadcasters are saying. That's what Drew Buck and Troy Aikman were talking about. But then you find out that it was a shoulder, and it ended up being a dislocated shoulder, which he got a pop back in. And there are a couple of sound clips that I wanted to play that came after the game, and one was from Raheem Mostert. And we've been talking about this three-headed monster of running backs. You know, what's the competition between them? Who should be the starter? Well, Raheem Mostert made it clear that after the game, he doesn't really think that way. He talked about what his message to Tevin Coleman was when Coleman was being carted off the field.
Coleman was, we're brothers, and I'm going to have your back no matter what. We're all going to have your back, you know, especially in the running back room because, like I said, we're brothers. You know, it goes way more than what people see. It's not, okay, him versus me versus Matt versus Jeff. We're all together. We're all in this together, and that's why I wanted to let him know, hey, look, I got your back. IGYB, that's our motto in the room, and he looked at me and said, I know you do. And then they took him off. And like I said, when I scored that following play, I threw up the 2-6 for him because I wanted him to know that, hey, I told you I got your back no matter what.
And it might sound a little corny, but that is how these guys view each other. They view each other as brothers. And Kyle Shanahan also spoke after the game to talk about how close this team is after this season.
The season's been so long. Also, it's gone so fast, too. I just can't tell you how close of a group of guys we have that I know a lot of people say that, but I've been coaching a while and I do feel like it's different, and I've been on a lot of close teams, and our guys got a lot of love for each other. I think in the way they play, you can see them play with a lot of love for each other. It doesn't matter who's going, who's up. No one's hesitated. No one really worries about it. I've never had one meeting this year with one player saying, hey, I need the ball more, or we need to do this. Everybody has just been on a mission to try to win each game, and it started week one versus Tampa. Today was the same thing, and I can officially say now we only have one more game left, so hopefully we can do it again.
Now, the only other team that I could think of, maybe other than, actually, there's two other teams that I could think of besides the 49ers and the Chiefs that are kind of like this, where there's not really any friction, and that would be the Saints and the Ravens, but they're not in the playoffs now. The only other team left is the Chiefs, and they're one of those teams where Andy Reid just has built such a good culture over there, to where you got Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback and he's the clear leader of the offense. You don't see guys like Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill who are so good that they could legitimately be divas if they wanted to. I mean, it doesn't give them the right necessarily, but they are so good that they could have these quote-unquote diva tendencies, but you don't see that happening too much within the Kansas City Chiefs organization. You don't see a lot of Tyreek Hill getting frustrated, Sammy Watkins, for what it's worth, not feeling like he's getting enough receptions, Travis Kelce, even sometimes in games where he doesn't even have a target, he doesn't look like he's complaining, he's not going in the post game talking crap about guys, taking subtle jabs at everyone. So these are two teams that are close-knit and that are basically polar opposites. In terms of just the Niners have someone on the Chill Not a Body text line here is putting it perfectly. From the 707, the scariest defense versus the scariest offense. And in that sense, they're kind of polar opposites. Although I will say, if we're going to look at the Chiefs' defense as the weak part of their team and the 49ers' offense as the weaker part, between those two, between the 49ers' offense and the Chiefs' defense, I think the 49er offense is better. So I'd give them the edge in that sense. But also, that Chiefs' offense is so damn good that they could pick up any slack that's given from that Chiefs' defense. And the Niner defense, at times, has been shown that they can give up some yards, give up some touchdowns, and they have been proven that they can be vulnerable. But that remains to be seen in a couple of weeks. I am really looking forward to this Super Bowl. I think the Raider Nation isn't exactly looking forward to this Super Bowl. If I'm going to guess, this could be some Raider fans' worst nightmare. Maybe if it was the Niners and the Broncos, I can't really think of another NFC team where the Raider Nation would be a little more jealous of. That's the main reason why they aren't a fan of this Super Bowl is because, well, for one, the Chiefs are the rivals, so that's natural. But the other thing is a lot of it is just jealousy because it's like they're the other team in the Bay. And now they're the only team left in the band. They look to be on the up and up even after this season. From the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. From the 510, no defense can slow down Chiefs' offense. Only way to beat them is to outscore them. And that's what I thought was the key for the Titans. And that's why I didn't think the Titans were going to win that game. The Titans did not score as much as they should have with the way that they were dominating. I know that they scored 28 against the Ravens, but it should have been way more than that. If you look at the final few drives, it was just punt, 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 punt from the Titans as well as the Ravens. The Ravens had every chance to get back into that game. And against the Patriots, after Derrick Henry had one of the kind of had his coming out party in the playoffs, really the Titans offense only scored 14 points out of it. So I figured that the Chiefs are probably going to score at least 28, and you're going to have to get more than that in order to beat them, and they just didn't do it. And the Chiefs' offense just doesn't slow down. It doesn't stop. You know, and they're one of the worst first-quarter teams in football, but then going into the rest of the games, they're one of the best teams in football. So it doesn't matter really how they start. It's always how you finish against the Chiefs. So we'll see how they do there. From the 650, that's a strategy every game, outscore them. Yeah, true. But also there's a strategy of just, you know, not letting them score. That's the other one, to put it simply. Also for the 650, Shanahan drives me nuts with his interviews, always says after every statement. I got to give Shanahan some credit here. That man, after this moment, you could, like, I've listened to a lot of Shanahan pressers this year, and this one, by far, this is the one where he was the most out of breath because he's been celebrating. I mean, you know, it's funny. Who did this thing? Blake Griffin was on Jimmy Kimmel and basically asked, or no, he was on Jimmy Fallon rather, and asked Jimmy Fallon to do 10 jumping jacks or 20 jumping jacks, something like that. And then Blake Griffin shoved the microphone in his face and started interviewing him. And Jimmy Fallon was completely out of breath. Like, it's hard to do. It's hard to do. Got to give a little credit to Kyle Shanahan. But coming up, I want to know from you on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. Who has been your MVP this season for the 49ers? Now, I got four guys in mind. Four guys who I think are or should be at the top of the list. And I could be wrong about it, but I got four guys who are at the top, and then I got two guys who can be underdogs for MVP here also. So I want to know from you, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, who has been your MVP this season for the 49ers? Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game. But I do want to know from you, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, who has been your MVP for the season? We got so much time to talk about the 49ers and the Chiefs. And if I had to make a list of the top five matchups that we hadn't seen in the regular or postseason, I think Niners-Chiefs would have to be at the top of the list. You know, there are a few here and there which I'd have to look over. But the Niners and the Chiefs, they both have the types of they're both, how do I put this? The Niners defense, right? There's something that's never been seen before by the Chiefs offense. But also, you got to think that the Chiefs offense with Patrick Mahomes and all the weapons at his possession, you got to think that the Chiefs offense is unlike any offense that the Niner defense has seen, right? I mean, you think about it, you saw You saw the Ravens' offense, but they have a very mobile quarterback who, you know, ran for 100 yards, but only passed for just over 100 yards as well. You're going up against a quarterback who can be mobile, who proved that he is back to being his regular Patrick Mahomes MVP self, who can be very mobile by rolling outside of the pocket, getting, and it's not just that one 30-plus yard touchdown run that he had. It's not just that one. But it's his ability for when his guys get deep, for whether it's, you know, Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill, DeMarcus Robinson, Sammy Watkins, for when those guys go deep and he's bringing back the linebackers and the safeties are pushing back to cover, Patrick Mahomes can easily scramble for 7 or 8 yards to get that first down. Patrick Mahomes is back to that guy. He wasn't that guy for a few weeks when coming off that that ankle injury that he had. So that's really where I'm at right now, is that the Chiefs offense hasn't seen a defense like the 49ers, but the 49ers defense I don't think has seen an offense like the Chiefs offense has seen. So you could go really both ways with it, and it's a question of who's going to come out on top. Also, from the Chilton Auto Body text line, though, I do want to mention this really quick. I want you to continue to get your MVPs in. I got the top. I got four guys who should be on the list, but I also got two underdogs who I think could be the MVP also. But where was it? From the 650, Dame Dahl is an assassin. God, I mean, did anyone watch that game last night? That game was, for one, the Warriors, it's one of those games, again, where the Warriors keep the lead and then they let it go late. And it's one of those games where you wonder, you know, when they start off 0 for 7 from 3, you're wondering if Steph or Clay are in. That's one of those games where it's like, despite Dame Lillard scoring 61 points, including that I don't even know how far it was. I'm pretty sure it was all the way from Eugene, the shot that he took at the end of the third quarter when he was trying to get a 2-for-1 for his team. He just dribbles up, takes one dribble past half court, pulls up, takes the shot, and I believe it was over Eric Paschal. He just makes it, swishes it in. You only see that really from Steph or Trae Young. Those were the comparisons they were making on the broadcast, but it's hard to see a guy being more confident in that sort of shot than Dame Lillard. But he was insane last night, and Carmelo looked pretty good too. But Eric Paschal, Jordan Poole, D'Angelo Russell, they had pretty good nights also. Marquese Chris had a good night coming off the bench. Alec Burke continues to produce. It's a little scrappy team right now. Or if you watch the halftime show and you heard Charles Barkley, he said, "It stinks." And then Shaq just like, "It doesn't stink, Chuck. They're depleted." Anyway. Do want to get your thoughts, though, on the Chill Not a Body text line for your MVPs of this season, because we are getting quite a few already from the 510, from two different 510. Jimmy G's comebacks put the Niners in that position where they are today. 408 MVP, Jimmy G, George Kittle, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Deebo Samuel from the 650, Jerick McKinnon for not playing, allowing Mostert to play from the 408. Fred Warner's been my MVP from the 510. Jimmy G from the 650, Richard Sherman from the 650, a different 650, I'd have to say Bosa due to the fact that he didn't miss a game and his pass rush and run defense has been excellent. Kittle's a close second. That's from Mountain View, from the 408. Sherman, Bosa, Kittle, Fred Warner, sleepers, Kaywan Williams, and Mike McGlinchey, and Robert Saleh. But I want you to continue on the Chilton Auto Body text line to get those in, because here would be my top four as it goes. So for one, it would have to be Jimmy Garoppolo. I would have to make that my number one, because for me, for one, let's just get the semantics out the way. Total 3,978 yards, 27 touchdowns. That's tied for fifth with Drew Brees and Carson Wentz. He had 13 INTs on the season. But those three, see, there you go. There's a voice crack again. Blame that on the throat. The three games that he came back on, the Steelers, the Rams, and the Saints, those are the types of games And I think especially – I think primarily that Saints game, at least in the regular season, which makes you think this team could go far in the playoffs because we could put the season on our quarterback's back if need be. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo proved it with those games. And he's the clear leader of that offense. He's the one who they all have faith in. He's the one who never wavers, no matter what the situation is. Always keeping confident. And that's the type of stuff that permeates through the huddle. And I think that's had a major effect on how the offense is ran. I think that having guys like Emmanuel Sanders, bringing him right into the fold when he was traded to the team late, even though they already had a close-knit wide receiver group, keeping faith in guys like Kendrick Bourne, who everyone just tried to write off after that Seahawks game where he only caught 4 passes on 8 targets. Jimmy Garoppolo kept the faith in him. And this team is heading to the Super Bowl in his first full season as a quarterback, and they're 13-3 on the year. I think Jimmy Garoppolo, for me, would have to be the MVP despite all the stats. There's a ton of other things that go into being a quarterback other than the stat sheet. And just having him there, his presence, I think alone, has led this team to where it is right now. But my second in the running for MVP would have to be George Kittle. 85 receptions on the year, 1,153 yards total, 5 touchdowns, only 2 drops on the year. He's a Pro Bowler, first team All-Pro. And here's one little number that's interesting to me. George Kittle received a 94.7 overall Pro Football Focus grade. That's the highest in football. And Pro Football Focus takes so many little things into account, and we already know that George Kittle is as complete a tight end as there is in this league. And if I had to count, like every team, every good team, it feels like, has the quarterback who's kind of, I don't want to say robotic because robotic sounds mean, but who's kind of just like the gentlemanly, you know, I'm team guy. I'm Mr. Whenever I'm asked a question, I'm just going to give you a straight up answer. That's not going to, I'm not going to say anything in that answer. I'm going to be, you know, face of the franchise guy. And then every face of the franchise guy is paired up with a tight end who's kind of crazy. And that's where we're at now. Except George Kittle, he doesn't seem like he's as crazy as these other guys. He will be for a little bit, but then he comes back and he just says, "How you guys doing? You guys doing good? Good." You know, that's who George Kittle is. So for me, he'd be my second guy because, and for one thing, that play on 4th-and-2 in that Saints game, I mean, I don't know if Jimmy G has that final play in the bag, if not for George Kittle and the threat that he poses. For him having three guys try to climb over him to tackle him. Marcus Williams taking a totally wrong angle to try and get George Kittle. So for me, he'd be the number two. For number three, it would have to be Richard Sherman. Selected to the Pro Bowl this year, second team All-Pro, allowed a 64.1 passer rating in the regular season, which is 8th among cornerbacks. His career passer rating in the postseason allowed 41.2. 5 interceptions this year, including the regular and the postseason. He's loud, he's brash, he's turned into a sort of fan favorite when no one expected it to be that way. 31 years old, that all the doubters that he's talking about are the ones who doubt him because of his age. Like the Darrelle Revises of the world. He set a blueprint for how this defense handles situations emotionally. Like when he talks in his post-game pressers, Sherman, it feels like he kind of speaks for how that defense operates. And the type of thing that Jimmy G brings to the offense, that's what Richard Sherman brings to the defense. And of course, he made that game-sealing interception in that last game, which is one thing that I think a lot of people will remember is that was their ticket for the Super Bowl. But it's what these guys bring to the locker room, and Jimmy Garoppolo and Richard Sherman, that's why they're up there for me in MVP. And number four would have to be Nick Bosa. Rookie of the year, Pro Bowl in his rookie season. He had 25 quarterback hits, which is tied for 8th in the NFL with Cam Jordan first among rookies. had 9 sacks on the air, 16 tackles for loss. Now, that's tied for 5th in the NFL. That's first for rookies. And he was he's only behind Za'Darius Smith, Aaron Donald, Joey Bosa, and Shaq Barrett. So you got that going for you. And Nick Bosa has just brought this intimidation to the defense, something where you're wondering, what the hell do I do against this guy? If I'm a tackle or a guard, he always mentions how Dee Ford brings that sort of intimidation to the line, that confusion that they don't know what to do. But Nick Bosa also brings some of that too. And it just feels like he's always in the backfield, and it doesn't matter which tackles it's against, whether it's the best on the Saints in Ryan Ramczyk, whether it's Andrew Whitworth of the Rams, whether it's in this last game against David Bakhtiari, how he managed to get a sack even though Bakhtiari was putting illegal hands to his face. You know, like there are so many things that Nick Bosa does that make you just say, wow. And I think you see a lot of parallels to, for instance, Lawrence Taylor, and this came up earlier in the year, when Lawrence Taylor was taken to the Giants, he instantly made their defense, along with other pieces, a top 5 defense in football, and Nick Bosa has done that same thing. So for me, it would have to go Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, Richard Sherman, and Nick Bosa. But I want to hear from you on the Chilton Auto Body text line. I'll continue to read yours off, and I'll bring my other two who I feel like are also in the running for MVP. You really could go with either 4. Just because I made this list, I do like lists. I'm a big list guy. But just because I made this a list, it doesn't mean that I don't think either of these guys could be the MVP of this team. Like, they all could be. They all deserve it because all these guys have had some sort of hand in making this team into what it is today, which is a dominant force in football. But I do want to hear from you. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888 957-9570. Also, if you're just getting in your car right now and haven't had a chance to share your thoughts on the game with the Chiefs, feel free to do so. Stephen Lankford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game. Coming up here in a couple of minutes, you're going to hear from Jerry Rice. He was on with Joe Lowen Dibs yesterday. He will be our interview of the day. You guys saw Jerry running routes in his suit, had the turnover chain on or whatever the chain is. I don't even know what the chain's called just because University of Miami did that turnover chain thing. I think every chain that's out there is a turnover chain. But think about this, though. I mean, if you're a 49er fan, I mean, you're heading out there to Miami. You're in the Super Bowl. That's insane. I mean, for one, you're going up against the Kansas City Chiefs team, which you really don't know. You think that the Chiefs offense hasn't faced a defense like the 49ers. Well, you can flip-flop that and think that the 49er defense hasn't faced an offense like the Chiefs offense. It could go both ways. I'm actually really looking forward to it. Raider Nation, totally understand if you're not looking forward to it. I mean, if it was the 49ers and the Broncos, maybe that would be even worse. I mean, that one with the Panthers and the Broncos, it was like, ugh. Especially when you expected the Panthers to actually win that season. That one would even be worse. But do want to know from you, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, who your MVPs would be for this season. I listed off my top 4 already. I had Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, Richard Sherman, and Nick Bosa for various other reasons. But my 2 that would kind of be on my undercard, and there's another voice crack as my throat is still bothering me. But my two on the bottom of my list, or at least who I'd put into consideration, would be Fred Warner, led the team in tackles by a heavy margin. He had the monster pick 6 in that game against the Rams when Jared Goff was rolling in the first half, and then he had that pick 6 right before the half was over, which was very demoralizing, I think, for the Rams. He was the NFC Defensive Player of the Month in November, and even though he's in his second year, he's a communicator on this defense. He played 100% of the snaps in 13 games this season, which is hard for any linebacker to do. So Fred Warner would be up there at number 5. And then my last one would have to be Kyle Juszczyk. I think not only does George Kittle make this run game into what it is, but Kyle Juszczyk, when he's your lead blocker, he's the best fullback in the game. He brings a sort of presence for the defense, and it's kind of scary for them. They don't know what to do. They don't know whether Kyle Juszczyk's going to be running on a wheel route, or he's going to be lead blocking for Raheem Mostert. They don't know what Kyle Juszczyk's going to do. So for me, Kyle Juszczyk would be up there on the list of MVPs. I want you to continue to get those in. I'll read them off coming up here. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 or 888-957-9570. But Jerry Rice, he was on with Joe Lo and Dibs yesterday. You know him, you love him. He was talking about the game as he was there at Levi's Stadium for the NFC Championship. Here is Jerry Rice from yesterday.
All right, let's go to the phones. We're going to come back to the billions in just a bit. If you want to get through, we're going to have you in just a little bit. But right now, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a three-time Super Bowl champ, 95.7 The Game football insider, the great Jerry Rice with us here on 95.7 The Game. Jerry, a man of the people. We saw the video. It was nice of you to spend some time with the great Lorenzo Neal yesterday. We know you're in high demand, so carve it out that time for the big man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Lowe was standing on the sideline looking like Shaft. Like that. I'm like, you know, he was staring me down, so I went over and I gave him some love, and we had a good time. But, man, the atmosphere yesterday was just unreal. It was crazy, the energy. I felt it. I felt like I was ready to play a football game in my actual suit. You know, now here I am running around on the football field having a good time. But, you know, the fans, they were totally like that 12th man. And the team, they were ready to go.
Jerry, you were all in watching you run up and down the side, the length of the field. You looked great. You had the chain on, just getting the fans hyped. And they were responding to you. They were responding great to you. When did you look at that game? What part of that game you said, okay, this Niner team, they're on the way to Miami? What part of that game, a defining moment where you're like, I think we got this?
No, you know what? I never did. You know, even when we beat the Denver Broncos 55-10, you know, it was like until those final seconds ticked off, then I knew that we had the game won. And when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you know, you expect something. So I knew he was going to try to make a run, you know, towards the end and stuff like that. But I just felt like we were the better team on that day. And it's great for the city of San Francisco. It's great for the San Francisco 49ers. You know, Kyle Shanahan, also John Lynch, you know, what they have structured and what they have put together, you know, and the players pretty much have bought in. And, you know, we're doing great things, but it's still not over.
Raheem Mostert, 4 rushing touchdowns, franchise record for rushing yards in any game. How fun was it for you to watch not only the offensive line dominate, but the receivers to dominate in the run game as well?
You know what, man, that offensive line, you got to give it to them, man. It's just like what Jimmy G said. You know, we were just running the ball down their throats. And, you know, Mostert, you know, the game that he had. And the thing about Mostert, though, he's not really that big of a guy. He's about 185 pounds, but he runs like he's 225, 230. And anytime, you know, he touches the ball, his vision on the field, it's just exceptional. He's seeing stuff happening before it really happens. And, you know, when you have a running back like that, he's going to put up outstanding numbers. And what a game he had. And, you know, Jimmy G just did exactly what he had to do yesterday. He didn't turn the ball over or anything. He threw the ball for like 6 or 8 times for about 77 yards. And that was really what was asked of him because they were running the ball so well.
Jerry Rice joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about culture. There was an article that came out recently. Unfortunately, I can't remember the author, but he talked about how in recent years, alumni, like yourself, and I'm not speaking for you, obviously, but didn't necessarily feel welcomed back to the facility the way that Kyle and John have kind of had an open door policy, wanting a lot of the legends like yourself to come back, to be around the team, to kind of be there to mentor these guys and speak to these guys. And you modeled the all white uniform for them at one point this year. You've been right. Instrumental in being around this team. Can you speak to that a little bit, what the culture's been like with these two and how they've tried to bridge the present with the past?
I think the culture really been amazing. you know, to have the veterans come back in and interact. You know, here I am. I'm on the field with Deebo Samuel, and I'm throwing the ball around. You know, Kendrick Bourne, those guys, just hanging out with those guys, watching them warm up, and just, you know, telling them little things, you know, about, you know, how to come out of that cut, you know, setting the defensive back up. You know, if you win early, still be patient enough where you put that little extra move in to get more separation for Jimmy G. Or something like that. Just little things like that. And I think that involvement is great for the team to have the veterans to come back in, to know that these guys, you know, they have done it. We know what it's all about. We have been there before. And, you know, we have been in the big games and all of that. And what I like about the 49ers right now is that they're having a great time. Right. They're playing together. You know, as one heartbeat, brick by brick, and no one is more important than a team, and they have all bought into that.
No question, Jerry. You can see it, and it just permeates throughout that locker room, on the field. There's no I guys. Guys step up, and guys are happy. Kittle, one of the best tight ends, if not the best in the league. One target, one catch, you know, and still these guys are blocking their butts off. What about the defense? What did you think about the performance yesterday?
You know, mostly great job, you know, because Weatherspoon, he had some problems. But, you know, then Weatherspoon decided, okay, let me go over to special teams. You don't often get that from players.
Sure.
This is crazy. This is crazy, man. And to see that happen, you know, it really tells you that everybody is on board. But, you know, mostly he had a great game yesterday. Richard Sherman is Richard Sherman. And the only thing about Richard Sherman right now, he got this beef going on with Darrell Revis. But then, you know, Darrell Revis, and they've been going back and forth. But, you know, Richard is the lock to that secondary, that defensive line with Bosa and all those guys, how they rush the passer. And what I like is their, you know, how fast they are to the ball. You know, this team is so fast. You know, you think the opponent got a play, but all of a sudden, then you see that pursuit, and those guys are so fast, you know, just on the field.
13 days till the Super Bowl. What are these guys going to go through over the course of the next week before they start to head to Miami?
Well, you know, we used to go. It used to be 2 weeks before the Super Bowl for us. In that first week, it was all about getting in there and getting acclimated and all that stuff. And, you know, you have to deal with the media. You have to give them their time. And then after that, you focus in on the football game. But I think just trying to get situated with the tickets, you know, who's going to be at the game and stuff like that, try to get all of this stuff out of the way. Then once you go there, now it's all about dealing with the media and hyping the game up. And then as the game gets closer, then you just focus in on, you know, the football team and what you have to do to win the Super Bowl.
Jerry Rice brought to you by Xfinity, joining Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. What do you make of the Kansas City Chiefs? This is as formidable an opponent as it gets. Very high-powered passing attack, lots of speed at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, you know what? They got a lot of weapons and on offense, and you know, with Patrick Mahomes, you know, being one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. But I feel you do not luck up and get to the Super Bowl. You deserve to get to the Super Bowl. Now is the best against the best, and who's going to come out, you know, with you know, their best football and win that football game? So, you know, you're going to hear people say, well, you know, the San Francisco 49ers, they are totally outmatched by the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think so. It's a whole new ball game, guys, and the team that really bring everything to the table is going to end up winning that football game. It's the attention to the detail. It's believing in yourself. It's believing in your team, everything that you have worked on. And, you know, you really deserve to be there. So it's the best against the best. And I think we're ready for this.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jerry. Jerry, are you going to be at the Super Bowl and are you going to have that chain? Where'd you get the 2-chain? And who do you give the coaching edge to?
You know what I do? Hey, Lo, you know what I do?
You look sweet, baby. The chain, you was popping your collar, though.
No, it's like, I don't know. It's just something. I love the fans. And I just went, I have signed this jersey for this guy, and I wanted to wear the chain. And anything I can do to get the crowd going, you know, because I'm totally into what the San Francisco 49ers
right.
are doing. And I told Stephen A. Smith all year long that they were going to go to the Super Bowl. And here we are. And Stephen A. Smith is still, he doesn't want to give the 49ers credit. You know, he feels like Jimmy G is not a legit quarterback. You know, hey, Jimmy G is doing exactly what we wanted him to do. We paid him over $139 million, and he's doing what we want him to do. And I think he has really elevated everyone on that team, elevated their play, you know, and he's only going to get better. But I think, you know, with the San Francisco 49ers right now, we have a great opportunity, and it's going to be great at Super Bowl 54, and I'll be right there, you know, supporting them 100%.
Jerry, this isn't a question, but it's something on behalf of the fans, because yesterday you were at the Santa Clara Hilton, and you spent about an hour and a half taking pictures with everybody, and so many people were blown away at how available you were and how friendly and how thoughtful. So I just wanted to say on behalf of all the fans who were there, thank you. That was really cool. Even though you kind of blew me off, I didn't take it personally because you're a very busy man.
You know, it's only so much of me to try to get around to everybody. But it was just like being in that environment. When I walked in, they just went crazy. Not only San Francisco 49ers fans, but also Green Bay Packers, you know, coming over, and they wanted to take pictures and stuff like that. And, you know, it's the opportunity of a lifetime, you know, for me, because it's like when you can take a picture and you can make someone's day, man, it goes a long, long way. Or you can sign an autograph. So, you know, I enjoy, you know, just making myself accessible, you know, for the fans. And I have a good time, you know, doing that.
Bringing smiles to the people, one autograph at a time, the legendary, the incomparable, the Hall of Famer, Jerry Rice, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Jerry, we'll see you in Miami. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, Miami, I'm looking forward to that great weather. But, you know,
we're invite us to all your parties.
We're going to go into Miami for business. You know what? And that's to come back with that trophy.
You got that right, Jerry. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care, guys. Bye.
And in case you were wondering, if you didn't catch all that interview, by the way, and you were just getting into your car, you can go to 957thegame.radio.com if you want to catch that interview. But about 5-6 minutes into that interview, they mentioned the Richard Sherman beef with Darrelle Revis. And if you haven't caught up on that, the day of the game, Darrelle Revis posted a picture of his TV showing Sherman getting beat by Devontae Adams. And he quoted it saying, or captioned it rather, saying, "Fear of getting beat in man-to-man coverage. Every snap, every play. The fact that he doesn't travel as cornerback is lame. Accept the challenge as the best and shut Adams down the entire game. Do it for the game of football. Stop hiding a cover three zone." And he spelt accept in the wrong way. We'll get to that later. But that's what Darrelle Revis said. Then Richard Sherman responds, I would go in on this has-been, but I have a Super Bowl to prepare for. Enjoy the view from the couch. Your ninth year looked a lot different than this. And then Darrelle Revis responds, "My ninth year, I led the entire league in turnovers. 5 INTs and 4 fumble recoveries. Enjoy the Super Bowl and strap up, because this game you'll have to cover." Then Richard Sherman responded saying, "I have to cover every game, kid. I get my hands on the football in the playoffs, something you will never know anything about." Then Revis responds, "Correction, pup. Think you have to go check the stats. You're balling in the postseason, not taking anything away from your play. As a corner, we play best on best to challenge the number one receiver every snap, 4 quarters, waiting for you to do the same." And then Revis continued, "All y'all think I'm throwing shade. I'm not. Just stating the man is not a pound-for-pound, man-to-man corner. If you know the game of football, he plays in a cover three scheme. He does not travel, but traveling with the receiver is not for every DB. It's a few on the corner list who can." And then Richard Sherman responds with a picture of Darrelle Revis getting beat by some Buffalo Bills receiver or tight end who I haven't even heard of, and then responding with, "Pound-for-pound, this guy has selective memory." And then he goes back to the first tweet and said, "By the way, it's accept, spelled A-C-C-E-P-T, not E-X-C-E-P-T." So there's a little exchange going on there. Richard Sherman having some fun before the Super Bowl. And that's really where the Darrelle Revis stuff began, was him posting the picture of Richard Sherman getting beat by Devontae Adams. But I do want to know from you, on the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795, who has been your MVP this season? And that's been a majority of what we've been talking about in this hour today. For me, it starts out with Jimmy Garoppolo. He has to be my number one because he is the face of the franchise. He is the guy who has led this team to being a 13-3 football team. There's a whole bunch of other factors, but he's been one of the few constants. When they were missing their tackles and Staley and McGlinchey and pass rushers were getting to him, he was still staying tough in the pocket regardless and getting the throws off. Whether it be that those two 3rd-and-16s in the Rams game, that Saints game where he was going toe-to-toe with Drew Brees in the Voodoo Dome, whether it was that Steelers game at the beginning of the season where he had to come back on the last drive in order to win the game, and it was a touchdown to Dante Pettis. And it's just the way he carries himself, and I think that that's the type of thing that has personified what the 49er team is, a team that doesn't really get flummoxed. So he'd be my number one. My number two would have to be George Kittle. He was from the 510, the Buffalo player that Revis posted or that Sherman posted was Goodwin. How about that? But George Kittle would be my number two on my MVP list. He had 85 receptions for 1,053 yards and 5 touchdowns with only a couple of drops. And we know that he makes the run game just as good as it can possibly be as a blocker. And he has the highest overall Pro Football Focus grade of anyone in football. And oh, by the way, he's a pro bowler and he's a first team all pro. And then third for me would have to be who we just talked about, Richard Sherman, who's also a pro bowler and a second team all pro. He's allowed a 64.1 passer rating this season, which is eighth among cornerbacks, and his career passer rating allowed in the postseason is 41.2. So he's continued to strive in the postseason as well as the regular season. And he had 5 interceptions, including the regular and postseasons this year. And he's kind of been the voice off the field for this defense. And he said something after the game, and I didn't play this yesterday, but he said something after Sunday, which kind of made the rounds and which is who Richard Sherman really is.
They're trying to hype themselves up like, man, we're going to be ready this time. You weren't ready the first time, and that was in front of the whole country. That was a Sunday night game. It wasn't like it was a game, just a middle of the day, 1 o'clock game. It kind of bothered us a little bit. You know, they're like, oh my God, we're going to be ready this time. Like, you weren't ready. Like, do you not take games seriously? You know, when do we not take games seriously in a regular season? If you would have won that one, you would have had the one seed. You would have been going to Green Bay. But hey, it wasn't that big a deal. You were going to be ready this time. But story for a different day.
Then fourth for me would be Nick Bosa, Rookie of the Year, Pro Bowl in his rookie season, 25 quarterback hits, which is eighth in the NFL with Cam Jordan, first among rookies. He had 9 sacks. He also had 16 tackles for loss, which is tied for fifth in the NFL. So those would be my top four. And my underdogs would be Fred Warner, who led the team in tackles, had that big pick six in that game against the Rams. He was the NFC Defensive Player of the Month for the month of November, and he's a communicator on the number one defense in football, and he's only in his second year as a linebacker. He is everything and more, and partially the reason why John Lynch got voted as Executive of the Year, because he drafted those kind of guys, and he played 100% of the snaps in 13 out of those 18 games. And my last guy would have to be Kyle Juszczyk, the guy who's the Swiss Army knife of this offense, who can really do it all, who, alongside George Kittle, is a big reason as to why this run game is so crucial. Raheem Mostert, it's not to take anything away from that last game that he had with 29 carries for 220 yards and 4 touchdowns, but it's hard to say that without Kyle Juszczyk, he would have had that sort of day. So Kyle Juszczyk would be that sixth on the list for me. And that's really where I'm at with the MVPs of this season. Thank you so much for joining me, everyone, this morning. Coming up will be Joe Lo and Dibs, and they'll be joined by T.O. at 8:40. And then, of course, Kyle Juszczyk coming up at 9:05 and T.O. at 8:30, by the way. Not 8:40. I mentioned 8:40, but it's 8:30. Joe Lo and Dibs coming up next.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.